23. Storming Strange. I am no poet to delight you with clever allusions. From Oathbringer, Preface.
I don't got any meat to sell,
the old Light Eyes said as he led Kaladin into the storm bunker.
But your bright lord and his men can weather in here, and for cheap.
He waved his cane toward the large hollow building. It reminded Kaladin of the barracks on the Shattered Plains, long and narrow, with one small end pointed eastward.
We'll need it to ourselves, Kaladin said. My bright lord values his privacy.
The elderly man glanced at Kaladin, taking in the blue uniform. Now that the weeping had passed, it looked better. He wouldn't wear it to an officer's review, but he'd spent some good time scrubbing out the stains and polishing the buttons. Colin uniform in Vama lands. It could imply a host of things. Hopefully one of them was not, this Colin officer has joined a bunch of runaway parshmen.
I can give you the whole bunker,
the merchant said.
Was supposed to be renting it to some caravans out of Revelar, but they didn't show.
What happened?
Don't know,
he said.
But it's storming strange, I'd say. Three caravans with different masters and goods, all gone silent. Not even a runner to give me word. Glad I took 10% up front.
Revelar. It was Vama's seat, the largest city between here and Kolinar. We'll take the bunker, Kaladin said, handing over some dun spheres. And whatever food you can spare.
Not much, by an army's scale. Maybe a sack of long roots or two. Some lavas. Was expecting one of those caravans to resupply me.
He shook his head, expression distant.
Strange times, Corporal. That wrong way storm. You reckon it will keep coming back?
Kaladin nodded. The Everstorm had hit again the day before, its second occurrence, not counting the initial one that had only come in the Far East. Kaladin and the Parshmen had weathered this one, upon warning from the Unseen Spren, in an abandoned mine.
Strange times,
the old man said again.
Well, if you do need meat, there's been a nest of wild hogs rooting about in the ravine to the south of here. This is High Lord Catalar's land, though, so, well, you just understand that.
If Kaladin's fictional Bright Lord was traveling on the king's orders, they could hunt the lands. If not, killing another High Lord's hogs would be poaching. The old man spoke like a backwater farmer, light yellow eyes notwithstanding, but he'd obviously made something of himself running a waystop. A lonely life, but the money was probably quite good.
Let's see what food I can find you here,
the old man said.
Follow along. Now, you're sure a storm is coming?
I have charts promising it.
Well, bless the Almighty and heralds for that, I suppose. We'll catch some people surprised, but it will be nice to be able to work my span read again.
Kaladin followed the man to a stone root shed on the leeward edge of his home, and haggled, briefly, for 3 sacks of vegetables.
One other thing, Kaladin added. You can't watch the army arrive.
What? Corporal, it's my duty to see your people settled in.
My bright lord is a very private person. It's important nobody know of our passing. Very important.
He laid his hand on his belt knife. The light-eyed man just sniffed.
I can be trusted to hold my tongue, soldier. And don't threaten me. I'm 6th Don.
He raised his chin, but when he hobbled back into his house, he shut the door tight and pulled close the storm shutters. Kaladin transferred the 3 sacks into the bunker, then hiked out to where he'd left the parshmen. He kept glancing about for Syl, but of course he saw nothing. The Void Spren was following him, hidden, likely to make sure he didn't do anything underhanded. They made it back right before the storm. Ken, Sa, and the others had wanted to wait until dark, unwilling to trust that the old Light Eyes wouldn't spy on them. But the wind had started blowing, and they'd finally believed Kaladin that a storm was imminent. Kaladin stood by the bunker's doorway, anxious as the Parshmen piled in. They'd picked up other groups in the last few days, led by unseen Voidspren that he was told darted away once their charges were delivered. Their numbers were now verging on 100, including the children and elderly. Nobody would tell Kaladin their end goal, only that the Spren had a destination in mind. Ken was last through the door. The large, muscled Parsh woman lingered, as if she wanted to watch the storm. Finally, she took their spheres, most of which they'd stolen from him, and locked the sack into the iron-banded lantern on the wall outside. She waved Kaladin through the door, then followed, barring it closed.
"You did well, human," she said to Kaladin. "I'll speak for you when we reach the gathering."
"Thanks," Kaladin said. Outside, the storm wall hit the bunker, making the stones shake and the very ground rattle. The Parshmen settled down to wait. Hesh dug into the sacks and inspected the vegetables with a critical eye. She'd worked the kitchens of a manor. Kaladin settled with his back to the wall, feeling the storm rage outside. Strange how he could hate the mild weeping so much, yet feel a thrill when he heard thunder beyond these stones. That storm had tried its best to kill him on several occasions. He felt a kinship to it, but still a wariness. It was a sergeant who was too brutal in training his recruits. The storm would renew the gems outside, which included not only spheres, but the larger gemstones he'd been carrying. Once renewed, he, well, the Parshmen, would have a wealth of stormlight. He needed to make a decision. How long could he delay flying back to the shattered plains? Even if he had to stop at a larger city to trade his dun spheres for infused ones, he could probably make it in under a day. He couldn't dally forever. What were they doing at Urethiru? What was the word from the rest of the world? The questions hounded him. Once he had been happy to worry only about his own squad. After that, he'd been willing to look after a battalion. Since when had the state of the entire world become his concern?
"I need to steal back my span rate at the very least, and send a message to Brightness Navani."
Something flickered at the edge of his vision. Syl had come back? He glanced toward her, a question on his lips, and barely stopped the words as he realized his error. The Spren beside him was glowing yellow, not blue-white. The tiny woman stood on a translucent pillar of golden stone that had risen from the ground to put her even with Kaladin's gaze. It, like the Spren herself, was the yellow-white color of the center of a flame. She wore a flowing dress that covered her legs entirely. Hands behind her back, she inspected him. Her face was shaped oddly, narrow, but with large, childlike eyes, like someone from Shinovar. Kaladin jumped, which caused the little Spren to smile.
"Pretend you don't know anything about Spren like her," Kaladin thought.
I can see you."
"Because I want you to," she said. "You are an odd one."
Why do you want me to see you?"
"So we can talk."
She started to stroll around him, and at each step, a spike of yellow stone shot up from the ground and met her bare foot.
"Why are you still here, human?"
"Your Parshmen took me captive."
"Your mother teach you to lie like that?" she asked, sounding amused. "They're less than a month old. Congratulations on fooling them."
She stopped and smiled at him.
"I'm a tad older than a month."
"The world is changing," Kaladin said. "The country is in upheaval. I guess I want to see where this goes."
She contemplated him. Fortunately, he had a good excuse for the bead of sweat that trickled down the side of his face. Facing a strangely intelligent, glowing yellow Spren would unnerve anyone, not just a man with too many things to hide.
"Would you fight for us, deserter?" she asked.
"Would I be allowed?"
My kind aren't nearly as inclined toward discrimination as yours. If you can carry a spear and take orders, then I certainly wouldn't turn you away.
She folded her arms, smiling in a strangely knowing way.
The final decision won't be mine. I am but a messenger.
Where can I find out for certain?
At our destination.
Which is?
Close enough, the Spren said. Why, you have pressing appointments elsewhere? Off for a beard trim, perhaps, or a lunch date with your grandmother?
Kaladin rubbed at his face. He'd almost been able to forget about the hairs that prickled at the sides of his mouth.
Tell me, the Spren asked, how did you know that there would be a high storm tonight?
Felt it, Kaladin said, in my bones.
Humans cannot feel storms, regardless of the body part in question.
He shrugged. Seemed like the right time for one, with the weeping having stopped and all.
She didn't nod or give any visible sign of what she thought of that comment. She merely held her knowing smile, then faded from his view.